Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everybody. I'm Kai Wright, host of the United States of Anxiety podcast from WNYC Studios, and I am sitting in for Brian today. New York City is a big, scary place to get lost in, and that's a particular risk for the very young, but also for the oldest of us, especially when dementia is a factor. This week, you may have heard WNYC features reporter Jim O'Grady with his latest piece on the growing problem of seniors who go missing and how the city responds. It included this from a niece, from the niece of a woman who had gotten lost on her own block.
That's when we got a call that she had been picked up by NYPD, lost in her neighborhood on the Upper West Side, where she's lived for over 40 years because her building disappeared. She was going from door to door down her block.
It's a really heart-wrenching story. And Jim joins me now. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Kai.
So tell us about that story we heard a little bit of. That was Kirsten, who is the niece of a woman named Pat McGinnis, right?
Right.
What
so
was going on
we
there?
Just heard from Kirsten McGinnis. And of course, she was describing the situation her aunt found herself in. She's only 67 years old. And obviously, her building did not disappear, but in her perception, it disappeared because she just could not recognize it, even though she had lived in the neighborhood for 40 years or more. So she set about wandering through the streets of the Upper West Side, disoriented. In her particular case, she has a brain disease called, what is it? Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. Mm. And it came on fairly suddenly. Kirsten said that her aunt was a very active New Yorker, an actor. She was always auditioning for parts. She was always hopping on the subway. If there was a snowstorm, she would still go out and meet her friends for drinks. She taught classes in the Alexander technique. She was very independent and active. And suddenly, the major symptoms of this disease kicked in, and she found herself lost on her own block.
And where did they find her?
In that case, she ended up, oddly enough, in a nearby school that had let out, and she was just sitting in an empty classroom. Somebody called the police. The police came. She remembered her address. They took her back to her apartment, but when they got in, they saw that the police, all of her items, instead of being on shelves, were on the floor. Mm. So that was a sign that something was seriously wrong. A neighbor helped them contact Aunt Pat's family members, and that included Kirsten, who we just heard from.
Yeah. And is she all right now? Or?
Well, there was one other major episode of wandering away. She was put into a nursing home. She escaped from that. It was a February night, and she ended up at a subway station 50 blocks away, you know, not dressed for the winter and not knowing where she was. And she had taken a fall, and she had, you know, deep bruises on her face and her neck. And in that case, that prompted the family to get her into a facility in Riverdale, where she is now, that knows this condition better. Mm-hmm.
And I can imagine, you know, I have friends who've had this kind of experience in their lives. When this happens, it feels so singular. But this is an increasingly common scenario.
It is. We got into this in the first place because the city sends out something called Silver Alerts, and they're based on Amber Alerts when a senior citizen goes missing. Actually, when a senior goes missing and they can't be found in the initial search, it's really serious. And we looked over the past 10 years when the program started, or actually 7 years in 2010, there were 21 Silver Alerts. In recent years, it's averaged 155. And that's just a sliver of the number of older people with a cognitive impairment who go lost in New York City. So this is a big problem. It's sort of happening under our noses, and it's likely to grow. Yeah.
Listeners, is this an issue in your family? Have you ever faced it? I know both of my grandparents on my mother's side had extreme dementia, Alzheimer's and lupus, and it really impacted our family. Have you had this problem? Have you had folks go missing? You want to share your story or find out more about what can be done? Call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Or tweet us at Brian Lehrer Show. And Jim, so you mentioned the civil alert system, but and that in Kirsten's case, they were able to call the police, but NYPD wasn't, they didn't always get involved in finding seniors, right? That's not something that we used to do.
That was a surprising thing I found out in the reporting. I talked to Jed Levine. He's the vice president of an Alzheimer's support group called Caring Kind here in New York. And he said when he was starting out as a social worker in the 90s, it was common knowledge that if a senior wandered off and you asked the police to help find that senior, you would have to prove that there was some sort of criminal activity involved in the senior going missing to warrant an investigation.
Because they didn't see it as helping people. They were just like, well, if there's a crime, we'll come chase that person down.
Yeah, it wasn't seen as something that the police needed to address. And then, tragically, a man from Morningside Heights who was a math tutor, and this is the thing, you can have dementia or Alzheimer's or the beginning stages of it and still do what you do. So this was a math tutor in his 70s, I believe, wandered off, could not be found. His daughter asked the police for help. They said, sorry, shrug. And she had to make up posters with her father's photo and put them around the neighborhood. Still wasn't found until he was located as a corpse near the little red lighthouse under the George Washington Bridge. And that was the case that I was told prompted a change in approach.
And that was when?
That was in the mid-90s, is how the story comes down social workers.
So here is someone who spoke to you from NYPD, Captain Stephen Wren from the NYPD Detectives Bureau. He's explaining what the response now is.
Yes, this describes the change, what they do now as opposed to then.
Okay.
We'll have detective squad response. We'll have mobilizations. We have a number of police officers coming from outside groups that help us look for the person we're looking for. We can bring the canines in, the bloodhounds, to do a search.
So, I think a number of listeners are probably also thinking, well, with all the news about NYPD and its relationship with citizens, particularly in Black and Latino communities, bloodhounds and whatnot, do I want that in my life when my senior goes missing? How does that come up?
It's a serious question. It did come up. The police said that most seniors who go missing are located, and that some very small number are found in an agitated state that can tip over into violence. They say it's very rare, but it does happen. So you have to decide whether you trust the police to handle that. And Captain Wren said most seniors who go missing who encounter the police are dealing with someone from the missing person squad who is trained to deal with missing seniors. So that is likely to lead to a better outcome. This is at least what Captain Wren told me. So, if you're thinking about calling the police or not, keep that in mind. And if you have a senior who has gone missing, the police said two things. One, call 911. That's what you do. You call 911. And the other thing is they said that there's this sort of urban legend out there. They think it comes from TV, from like detective shows, that the police won't search for a missing person until 24 hours have passed.
I thought that was true.
That is not true. They insist that that is not true. They say, call us sooner rather than later, because obviously it's easier to find someone if they haven't wandered. In the case of bloodhounds, then, the scent is fresher.
Still fresh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's try to get in some callers here. Shirley from Brooklyn. Hi, Shirley. Hi, Shirley. You're on the air.
Hi.
What was your story?
My story, my father, he has Alzheimer's. Both my parents have, but my mother's very advanced. But they live together, and they're cared for by a home care aide. But at one point, the door had not been locked, the front door, and my father escaped. And the home care aide tried to run after him, but then she had to deal with the issue of leaving my mother alone. So she went back, called me immediately. I came over. By then, he was no longer in sight. I tried looking, driving, walking all over the neighborhood, places I thought he used to go to and be familiar with, but I couldn't find him. Called the police, and they came immediately, and they were wonderful because they didn't just send one unit. They sent another unit, and we went around, and we went to the places where, again, I thought he might be. One of them was a restaurant he used to frequent. He wasn't there, but we told them that if they saw him to call us. And after a few hours, this was, I think, in November, and I was very concerned because it was cold and he had nothing on but a sweater. Anyway, the police did bring a dog, and we gave them another article of clothing that the dog sniffed. And then finally the restaurant called that he was there, and at the same time, the dog ran into the restaurant. So the dog found, basically, it was incredible. The dog found, he was sitting there eating. He had asked the restaurateur for, you know, dinner, and they knew him from the years when he was healthy. And he didn't want to leave until he finished his meal.
He went somewhere that felt safe.
Which is often the case.
It sounds like he went somewhere to felt safe. Jim was nodding as you were telling your story, Shirley. It sounds like a lot about this is familiar to you, Jim.
Yeah, well, first of all, I mean, your obvious distress in those hours where you just didn't know where he was and you were searching and searching. And the police said where your father, what neighborhood was this in, by the way? Do we know?
Shirley, what neighborhood was this in?
Oh, Sheepshead Bay.
Okay, so the police say if someone goes missing, think about where they were happiest. Think about where they just liked to be. Think about a place that has a deep residual spot in their memory, and that is often where they go, not as as opposed to their current home. And that was the case with you. I talked to someone, one of the officers, the missing person squad, talked about a man from the Bronx who disappeared. They asked the family, what is he like? And they said, he likes to play the slot machines. And 3 hours later, they found him in Atlantic City.
And so they'll go all the way to Atlantic City. That's that.
Yeah, and I asked them, so when you found the guy, did he say, excuse me, I'm playing the slot machines, like, you know, leave me alone.
Right.
They said, yeah, they had to, like, coax him away from the slot machine.
Thanks for sharing your story, Shirley. Also about Brooklyn, so another thing that's in your story is that this is statistically, this is a particular problem both in Brooklyn and amongst African Americans, right?
It is because of this shocking statistic that African Americans are twice as likely to suffer from Alzheimer's disease as whites are, and Hispanics are 1.5 times more likely. So that means those communities are more at risk. We broke down the numbers on 45 silver alerts that have come out this year, and 34 of them were for seniors who were either black or Hispanic. Wow. So you see, it's a particular problem in those communities, and New York City is graying. It's getting older. It's projected to keep getting older. And the percentage of the older population in New York City is getting more black and more brown. So you put those two things together, and it's a bigger problem if you're African-American or Hispanic.
Which is interesting because we think of the city, a lot of people think of the city and think about all of the young people that have moved here and the neighborhoods with the double wide strollers and that's, and particularly Brooklyn, that is sort of a cliche about the borough, but it's the opposite in terms of what the actual challenges are.
Yeah. So here's a stat. The city comptroller, Scott Stringer, came out with a report on aging in New York last March. And it says that from 2005 to 2015, the number of New Yorkers over 65 grew by 19%, more than double the rate of the total population and triple the rate of the population under 65. And so that means, according to this report, that by 2040, 1.4 million New Yorkers will be over the age of 65. And that is just a large pool of people to draw from who could possibly get dementia and then could possibly wander off and put themselves at risk.
And so how does this work, the silver alerts business? Let's get some of the details about what people need to do, they can do. At what point do the police issue a silver alert? What triggers it?
Yeah, so about 10 to 11,000 people go missing in New York City every year. Some number of those missing people are seniors. I asked the police what number, and they wouldn't tell me. But of that group of missing seniors, some number of those can't be found in the first few hours. As you heard from the caller, the police tend to throw a lot of resources soon after the person goes missing. If they still can't be found, then it's critical. Then they issue a silver alert, and that's their way of asking the public to help. There is a description of the person. There's often a photo, There's a location where they were last seen. And that also goes out to you know, the Port Authority, the MTA, hospitals, nursing homes. It goes out to care providers. So it's sort of spread out, and it's asking the public to just keep your eyes open and try to find this person.
It's kind of like an Amber Alert for that we're familiar with for missing kids.
Yeah, it is.
And it just pops up on your phone or...
Yeah, so the New York City Office of Emergency Management has a program you can subscribe to called Notify NYC. And if you just go to that website, you click on enroll, and you can choose to get silver alerts that will either come on your phone as a text or in your inbox as an email.
And how do you subscribe? What do you need to do?
Just go to the website, click on enroll, and I think that's pretty much it.
And you're in.
Yeah, put in your phone number and email.
Let's go to Anna in Harlem. Anna, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. We experienced the same situation of having a friend that went missing. The point here was once the silver alert was issued, she had disappeared for 3 days, had mm-hmm. been in a hospital the whole time, and there was no communication between the police and the hospital. So she was missing for 3 days without medication, as a Jane Doe, we not knowing where she was, that she was even alive. And in the hospital, no one knew who she was and where she had come from. And there was this silver alert and nothing, no communication. So that was one of the points that I wanted to bring up to the conversation.
That there was that all there was a silver alert, but no communication back to the family.
Because she had disappeared 3 days prior, the silver alert had been enacted, and the hospital had it there. There was a silver alert, and people looking for her frantically for 3 days. Uh-huh. And it turned out that it was a nurse that worked in the hospital that she was in that saw it on the news, a reportage that was made on the missing person. And it was that way that we came to find her.
Yeah, there you go.
So it's a big lack. I mean, 3 days in the middle of the winter.
Yeah,
that makes the point that the system is not foolproof, and that's what silver alerts are designed to do: just get that information about your missing relative out there, so that someone at the hospital, the police, also send the information out to the media. And
they guaranteed us that there was that communication, right? That was going on. And despite the fact we had troops of people going to hospitals, and when we asked for this patient of anyone that was not, that was in as a Jane Doe, because she didn't have any ID on her, mm-hmm. if we could know if there was somebody in there, they would not communicate to family and friends.
Did you provide them with a photo?
Oh, yeah. We plastered the city for 3 days. We had 3 days to we even made a big poster that we would put on a car, and we drove through the city with the poster with her big photo.
Can we talk about things that the police recommend a family member does if they find themselves in that situation?
Yes, please.
If you have a senior and you think they might be at risk of wandering off, things you can do beforehand: have a recent photo. The police said sometimes, like the person's prom photo is not going to help very much. Have as recent a photo as you can find for that person. If you see them, make a note of the clothes they're wearing, however often you see them. Just make a mental note so you can describe that to the cops, which will help them look for the person. Write down their MetroCard number if they have a MetroCard. The police say that is really good information. If the person takes mass transit, they can track them and they can find them that way. And there are things called medic alert bracelets with information like name, address, medical issues, emergency contact numbers, all of that. So those are some of the things the police recommend you do just to be ready in case it happens.
What about what you do if you've signed up to get the silver alerts? And thanks for your call, Anna. You sign up to get the silver alerts and you found someone. What now? And there was a commenter, Meg from Brooklyn, on your story on the website, who describes finding a woman who was disoriented and said she wanders off all the time, but the woman got angry when she tried to put her in a cab, and that Meg was reluctant to call the police because she thought it might be even more disorienting for the woman. What is their advice about what you do when, okay, you got the alert, you saw somebody that's there, what do you do now?
Yeah, that's often a feature of being disoriented in public, is not knowing to accept help or understand that help is being offered. All I can say is the officers in the missing person squad I spoke to said, call 911. They are used to dealing with this. They will show up. They have ways of convincing the person to accept help.
So, well, thank you, Jim. I think we're going to have to leave it there. Thanks, Jim O'Grady, features reporter here at WNYC.